It's Monday, May 16th, and we'll be in work session on House Bill 5092, which is the budget bill for the state school fund and the budget bill for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. We'll open a work session on House Bill 5092, and Mr. Bender, at your convenience.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Distributing.
Thank you. Some materials to you related to the community college portion of your work today.
Mr. Bender, this is the first work session that this committee's been through, so perhaps we should have a little discussion about process before we go forward.
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I've distributed two items to you this morning. One is a memo to you dated May 16th. The title, the subject is the LFO recommendation for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. And I've also distributed to you a second packet, which is a table. This actually has two items stapled together. But the first item is the LFO Work Session Action Report. And I'd like to, as the chair requested, explain a little bit about the process that we're suggesting might be helpful for you as you go through work sessions for all of your agency budgets. This session, we have, here within LFO, we are trying to standardize more the process of the way that we present information and recommendations to you between analysts and between agencies. So we're following a pattern that is pretty strict in the sense that all of the information should be presented to you in a comparable manner from budget to budget, which we hope will be helpful to you. Now, the table that you see here is a table that's produced by the state's ORBITS, or budget reporting system. This is the same system that each state agency uses to request its budget, that the governor uses to recommend a budget, and that you will be using to approve a budget for an agency, and then that an agency will use to help it execute the budget that you approve. And this is a table that you will be seeing for each of your state agency budgets. It's not the easiest thing to go through, but we'll work with you to work through this table. But this table produces information in a certain manner for every state agency. It indicates at first, if you're looking at page 1 of 17 here, it indicates, first of all, what the governor recommended, and then it indicates a number of what we call policy packages that, in essence, reflect changes to the legislatively approved budget from the prior biennium. This will always list these policy packages in numeric order. So what I've done is in the memo that I've prepared, I prepare this in a way that follows in the order that the report lists them. So we'll be going through LFO recommendations by package in numeric order, which sometimes may seem like we're kind of skipping around a little bit, but I wanted to do this so that it was consistent with the table that you see before you. All the recommendations, what this memo and what this table describes are the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations on the Community Colleges and Workforce Development Department's budget. All of these recommendations are consistent with the budget guidelines developed by the House chair for the overall state budget. The details that we'll be going through describe adjustments, and this is actually rather important. I'll be describing, in all cases, adjustments that I'm recommending that you approve to the governor's recommended budget as printed. this is the printed and formal document that the governor submitted to you prior to the start of session, which is required to be submitted by statute. And as you know, you may recall, those of you who served on the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means, that when that Education Subcommittee was going through with this budget, Mr. McGee from the Budget and Management Division did indicate that the governor had made some revisions to his original printed request. Nonetheless, we are working from the original recommended budget as printed. And the importance of doing this is to create a formal committee record of why you are approving the dollar amounts that you are. So we have a known starting point and a known ending point and a known path for getting from the starting point to the ending point. So there shouldn't be ambiguity to the agency as to what it is you're approving them to do and what it is you're not approving them to do. What this means as a technical matter is all the recommended changes that I'm going to be talking about will be to policy packages numbered 100 or above. These are often, these are referred to as policy option packages. And what this means is we are starting from the base, the governor's base, whereby, in which there were large reductions in general fund support in order to balance the overall budget that he submitted to the legislature back in December. So in other words, if you look at the first page of this chart here, page 1 of 17, and you look about two-thirds of the way down that page, you'll see something that says Package 090, Analysts Adjustments, minus in general fund column, there's a subtraction of over $19 million. I'm going to be asking that the committee approve as a start all of these adjustments to the budget that the governor made as long as the package number is less than 100. So that would include this one. This was a major reduction in the Community College Support Fund primarily. And I would like to state that though we're asking you to approve this, this reduction will be overturned in the subsequent reductions that are made in order to be consistent with the House budget. But it is important, I think, to start at the right place and then to note the changes from the budget that the governor submitted.
Representative Schaffner.
Thank you. This reduction reflects a reduction from relative to last biennium's budget. Is that correct? Or the governor's revised budget?
This reflects a reduction to what was calculated as the essential budget level for this biennium in the governor's budget. So it is a cut in the ability of community colleges to continue to offer their programs and services. But we would ask, Madam Chair, if you would be willing to just start this process with an acknowledgement that the starting point for the process will be the governor's recommended budget as printed, and that we will then be making adjustments to that in policy packages.
And I think that acknowledgement is needs to be very clearly made on the record, and quite frankly, I think it's one of the things that confuses people that come into the budget process, because the whole process does key off of the governor's recommended budget, and you move up in funding or down in funding based on his numbers. One of the things that also was a huge source of confusion with this information when I first got a hold of it was that you have to pay attention to the titles that are in the fourth line down on the right-hand side. And the first part of this is actually an overview of the whole department, and then subsequent pages break down different sections within the budget. So you kind of see the same information going through this, but you get the whole picture on the first part and then pieces and parts of the whole picture as you work your way through.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Could you go back over that, because I'm not sure I understood the fourth line down on the right-hand side.
Okay. If you take a look at this, this line right here.
Okay.
talks to you about which part of the budget that you're looking at. So if you go back to the next page on this, you'll notice that this section here is just the budget for the office operations part of the department. And if you move that another couple of pages, then you're into the budget for state support to community colleges. If you keep looking on that same line.
Page 9 and 7.
So it's really important when you're to look on that particular line on here so that you know which part of the budget that you're actually looking at. Okay, shall we proceed?
Yes, Madam Chair. What I've done in my memo, there's a fair amount of text description actually in this table. So in the memo, in many cases, I will refer to the table with the specific page numbers to make it clear where you have to go in order to see this. Because as the Chair was mentioning, the table does show the adjustments by each of what we would call the program areas within the department's budget. But going back to my memo on page 1, the table there shows what the funding levels would be if you approve all of the legislative fiscal office recommendations that are going to be discussed now. But let us begin, if we may, with recommendation 1, which starts at the bottom of page 1 and actually is kind of a confusing one or an unusual recommendation here. This deals with the Community College Capital Construction Package, Package 102 in the Governor's budget. As you are aware, or may be aware, the Governor is proposing that the state fund capital construction projects on 6 community college campuses. House Bill 5092, however, the bill that you are working on today, cannot include capital construction projects for community colleges. These projects are required under the state constitution to appear in a separate bill, which will come before you at some later time. The reason is that the constitution restricts what you can put into an appropriation measure. And House Bill 5092 will be an appropriation for the operations of community colleges, and therefore you cannot also approve capital construction projects in this bill. So all of the discussions and recommendations that I will be making to you today will be silent on the issue of which or whether or how to approve particular capital construction projects. But it is necessary, nonetheless, to address capital construction projects a bit in this bill, because the governor's budget added funds to the department for its administrative and oversight costs relating to the capital construction program. The governor added what I would characterize, and I believe the budget and management would not have issue with this characterization, but as a placeholder of $100,000 in other funds to account for expenditures that the department itself would have in administering these, its role in overseeing these 6 community college capital construction projects. The source of these other funds would be funds from the colleges themselves who are participating in this program and could come either from their operating revenues or from some of the bond proceeds or whatever. But the governor included $100,000 in operating funds for expenses. What we are recommending is that you reduce the other funds expenditure limitation by $99,999, which means there'd only be $1 left there in the budget, pending determination of what these administrative and oversight costs may be. We do not know yet whether you will approve any of the projects at all, and indeed, even if you approve them, we don't know what the administrative and oversight costs to the department will be at this point. Our recommendation is that you reduce this if these costs become known before the end of the legislative session, you will be able to, I'm sure, in some vehicle, restore the appropriate amount of other funds limitation. If this amount is still not known at the end of session, the emergency board would have complete authority to increase this other funds limitation, and they would do so at the request of the department. But that is our first recommendation.
So, Mr. Bender, keeping the $1 in that line item then would allow, if all else failed, the e-board to move more, increase the amount of the limitation to fit the size of whatever the capital construction project ended up being?
Correct.
Committee members, it's my intention to have us vote on each of these packages as we go through here so that we don't end up with one big clotted thing at the end. So at this point, does anyone have questions or wish to make comments? Representative Mark.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it is a question. And I note Mr. Bender talked about that House Bill 1592 is going to be the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development budget, but I see in his memo that it is also going to be the vehicle for the state school fund, and my question is this somewhat out of the ordinary? Don't we normally, and haven't we traditionally, had separate budgets for the state school fund and for the community colleges?
We traditionally have done that. Last session, a number of the state school fund was combined with a number of other agency budgets, but you are correct. Traditionally, these are done in separate appropriation bills, these two budgets.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Shoffman.
Chair, I heard somebody giggle when I laughed. That's my first question, so they may as well get used to giggling.
Just
laugh. I'm going to be asking a probably painful question. And it's Mr. Bender, you said we're leaving $1. According to this chart here, we're leaving $13. I'd imagine $112 was just the estimate it was going to cost to look over this. But my question actually is this the normal way to do things? Is this how things usually? You have the money matched by the local community colleges and six colleges, I think I heard. And if we don't match that money or whatever we're going to do in the future, then I leave it to in good faith that the e-board will come back and put this back in if necessary. I heard you refer to if we don't during this session, that we would leave it to the e-board to come and put it back in. Is that pretty?
And my understanding is that this is not the state's match money, that part of the debate will happen in a whole separate bill. That's the capital construction bill. This funding is just to put capacity within the community college administration to be able to administer these construction projects.
Right. I understood that part, but then when I vote and remove this, I'm just going on the thought that maybe we'll replace it if other budgets are squared away, or if not, during our session while we're here, we'll leave it to the e-board to do when and if they see fit.
We're anticipating before this is over that there's going to be a number of reconciliation bills, and this could be once the amount of the capital construction investment is decided, then the amount that's needed to oversee the process could also be decided, and it could be put into one of those reconciliation bills, or by keeping this line item funded, it could be dealt with at the e-board.
Thank you.
Any more questions? The chair would accept a motion to approve the Community College Capital Construction Package 102 with the LFO recommendations.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We now move on to the second LFO recommendation, which relates to Policy Package 103. The formal name of that is the Integrated Data Systems Priority, but we've been referring to it as the K-16 Student Data System. The governor's recommended budget includes $873,000 of general fund for the community college's share of developing an improved K-16 student data system. There is a bit more detail on pages 4 and 5, descriptive detail, on pages 4 and 5 of the memo here. But the purpose of the, I'm reading under package 103 on page 4, this will improve electronic transmission of student data between K-12 and post-secondary institutions with expected outcomes of improving student performance through improved advising and program enrollments, increased transfer activity between community colleges and OUS, and increased post-secondary enrollment and bachelor degree awards. We recommend that you approve this package with modifications. And the modifications are described in some detail on page 5, where it says in the column LFO recommendation, but instead of going through that verbatim, let me just summarize this modification as follows. We are recommending that you reduce the general fund support for this initiative by $209,000 general fund, and that you increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by an equal amount, $209,000. What this will do is, this essentially reduces the state's contribution toward the development of the system. The other $209,000 of cost are anticipated to be covered, or under this recommendation, they would be covered by the community colleges themselves to help and assist in the development of this project. The costs that the community colleges would be asked to or would be required to cover if you approve this recommendation include costs to purchase computer hardware and software that they would then maintain and own on their campuses. So this would be stuff that they would be buying for themselves, as well as a small amount, $8,500, that's in the budget for training their personnel in the use of the new data system. What this would mean is that the $664,400 of general fund that would remain and that the state would cover would be the cost of developing the system, but not of actually providing the actual hardware or the software that would be used. So the state would continue to fund the developmental costs. Colleges would have an incentive to participate in this program because in the management of this program, because they would be covering part of the costs of this program. We do increase the other funds limitation to, in an effort to allow the costs to be, to allow this project to still be financed centrally at the departmental level. So in other words, if it's possible to achieve certain economies of scale or purchasing agreements by purchasing things and doing this as a unit as opposed to 17 different entities, the $209,000 other funds limitation would allow, if practical, the colleges to essentially send the money to the state to be combined with the state funds to make these purchases. It also would allow a system, if the colleges wish to develop this, of helping to share the cost burden among colleges if, for some of them, their purchase of the hardware and software would be too burdensome to them. So that is our recommendation for the integrated data systems priority. And it is consistent also with the House Chair's House Budget Directive to find savings in the office operations program area.
For those of us that weren't part of the Joint Education Subcommittee discussion around the integrated data system itself, could you talk to us a little bit, Mr. Bender, about how far along the system is in terms of the architecture and the functioning, the design of the system, what the timeline is for developing it? just I'm real curious about how formed the project is at this point.
Madam Chair, I do not have all of the details to answer your request, your question in detail. My understanding, though, is that this is still in the early process of stages of development. There has been some work that has been done already in designing the system, and that the system development is expected to be complete in the next biennium. And thank you for mentioning this. I did want to say on the record something that you see at the very bottom of the LFO recommendation on page 5 of 17 for package 103. We recommend that you, the committee, express its understanding that the expenditures approved in this package are of a one-time nature and that the funds will be phased out in the development of the 2007-09 biennium budget. That is to say, we anticipate, we have been told, and we anticipate that after this funding is provided, there should be a system that is operative and that it will not impose additional costs to the department or to colleges for which they will need additional funding. This is a one-time investment.
Questions or comments? Representative Schaffer.
Thank you. Well, this reduction, we're just saying we want them to help share the costs and we can't afford everything. And they're going to have to kick a little money in. And then in 2009, will there be anything, is there anything predicted to be budgeted in there, or we'll just close this down?
We do not expect anything to be included. If it turns out that there are additional costs, or if it turns out that there's another expansion of this project that the department would request, they could request that, and the governor could forward that to you, but it would be in the form, it would be identified as a policy package and not as an ongoing cost.
Thank you.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Bender, for your work on this. A question in relationship to this. We have two other parts of this package appearing in two other budgets that are coming down the pike. Are we, I assume, consistent? And I know we don't have those budgets in front of us today, but I'm just trying to understand whether we're in the same place on both of those budgets as such.
It is my intention to make a parallel recommendation to the component of this package that is in the high OUS budget, whereby I will recommend that you reduce the general fund, eliminate general fund support for the actual acquisition of hardware, software, and training of personnel.
And the other one we'll have to fight with one other member of the LFO staff to see where we
and
go with
that. And she'll be in here next. So you'll have the opportunity to discuss.
Okay. One of the things, Mr. Bender would note probably that I did talk to him about this package as I did to the chair. And some of my concerns with it, I probably would be much more comfortable yet if this remaining $664,000, if that's the right amount, $400, was in the e-board to be utilized when the department moves forward and provides the documentation that would make the subcommittee of the e-board comfortable with it. For that then, and without wanting people to think that I'm somehow or another anti-community colleges or anti-education on this, I would like to speak with your indulgence, Madam Chair, for the record, a little bit on this particular thing, a particular policy package. Having spent the better part of 30 years in the community college system, can't experience the problems that are being talked about or trying to be addressed in this package, there's a certain amount of course sympathy for it. By the same token, having spent that length of time in the community college system and seeing the things that have been done both at the community college and at the elementary or K-12 levels with it, my patience has worn thin with this particular issue. I think fundamentally we've been trying to solve this problem of transferability for 30-some years, and I think, Madam Chair, that the tools are already there. I am somewhat pessimistic about the need for what is ultimately about a $4 million project in order to be able to carry out this issue of transferability between the schools. Be that trying to work with the high schools to allow them the opportunity to have their students take college-level courses in their senior year or perhaps even in their junior year, if appropriate. Or, you know, be that the transfer of the community college courses to the four-year schools. I think the things have been done that should have solved that problem. And I think it's merely a matter of the four-year schools and the two-year schools and the high schools working together with things that are already in place. I'm pessimistic about the need for more data to do something that they fundamentally can already do. However, having said that, I would support this if, for Christ's sake, excuse me, Madam Chair, it would once and for all solve a problem that they've been working on now for over 30 years. If they can't get it done in 30-year period of time and this will get it done, it'll be worth it to all mankind to move this project forward. If it can't, and if it doesn't, and if I or they have the misfortune of having me back in the legislature at a time when we're dealing with this issue, my memory will be refreshed. I'll even make notes in case I start to lose some of it so that this issue I would remember.
I have a feeling you won't forget this.
And, you know, with this, Madam Chair, again, I would probably have been more comfortable if it had gone to the e-board, but I would not fall on my sword. Mr. Bender has, I think, made a good identification of one of the issues I was concerned with on it, and I'm prepared to support the recommendation with having my comments on the record.
Well, committee members, I too am not comfortable with making this an outright appropriation, and what I'd like to do is to offer a conceptual budget note that we include in the discussions that we're having today and then present it to the co-chair for his concurrence. But what I would like to do is to have a budget note in the Department of Ed budget, in the community college budget, and in the OUS, the four-year system budget, that parallel each other, that moves this money as a special purpose appropriation to the E-board, so to the E-fund, so that it's earmarked for this project, and give instructions to each of those three entities to report to the E-board on the design of the system and the architecture of the system, on the total cost to complete the system and implement it, on the timeline to complete it and implement it, and on the expected outcomes that the system will achieve by having this in place. And then I'd also like to have the budget note include that the three entities should report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee with a performance measure that will measure the increase in the movement of students or the speed or the number or something to show that we're really getting what we hope to get out of this process. So to try to, or not to try to actually devise a performance measure that'll measure what this system is actually adding.
If that's a request, Madam Chair, I would so conceptually move.
Does anyone want to discuss that? Are you comfortable with that, Representative Martin?
I was comfortable with the recommendation coming from LFO in that I've sat through a lot of the hearings around this issue, and I think they're there. But given the one thing that was missing, and I'm glad you added it, was the performance measure. Because we're trying to make the system better, and you're having the various entities come back to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, I think, is an excellent approach. And for that reason, I would be more than happy to support your conceptual amendment and the conceptual motion.
Madam Chair,
it's very conceptual. Representative Shaw.
Just for the record, I'm about as far out of my comfort zone as I've ever been here, so I just wanted to, I will follow all you good smart people's lead on many of these issues.
Then I will accept Representative Jensen's motion to move the conceptual budget note into the LFO recommendation. Is there any discussion of that motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Without objection, then the motion is carried. And
thank you, Madam
Chair. There's the conceptual amendment. Now let's go back to the main package. And I do want it noted clearly on the record that it is our understanding, and we are moving forward with this package with the understanding that this is a one-time funding request and that the funds will be phased out in the development of the 07-09 budget package. And with that, I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation relating to package 103 with the conceptual amended, the conceptual budget note amended into it.
Okay.
I have the motion. Do I have discussion on the motion? I have objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Thank you. Going back to page 2 of the memo, the next package that the recommendation relates to is package 104, operations staffing. LFO is recommending that you approve this package as modified. The governor's recommended budget includes $86,464 in other funds and $360,589 in federal funds to support three new full-time positions and the cost of the department's participation in the statewide PRISM data system. I'd like to just take a little detour here and talk a little bit about these funds that would be used to finance this package if you do approve it, or if you do approve it as modified by the, as the LFO recommendation would request that you modify them. The federal funds in this package come from two sources, the Workforce Investment Act, Title I-B, and the Workforce Investment Act, Title II. The Workforce Investment Act Title I-B is a program that has changed names over the years. At one point it was called JPTA. It's now just typically referred to as Workforce Investment Act without the title name. And it is the federal program that trains youth and adults in workforce skills. The actual provision of services, the community colleges do a lot of this, but there are local workforce boards around the state that basically coordinate these efforts in their regions. All of these funds, the way that the state budgets for these funds is there's a certain amount that the federal government sends us, and we always budget to spend all of that. In other words, we don't maintain a balance from one biennium to another because the federal program requires these funds to be spent. or not to be spent. They could be returned to the federal government, but they're not something you can build up and accumulate over time. There are a number of adjustments, both in this package and in other packages that we'll be getting to later, whereby we are reducing the allowed expenditures for administration of this program in the department. In this particular case, LFO is going to recommend that you reduce the amount that they may spend by about $87,000. But whenever there's a reduction, you know, if you reduce the amount that the department can spend, what that really means is that there's more money left over to then send out to the local workforce service providers to assist in their program activities throughout the state. So for every time that we're reducing federal funds for those programs, and the LFO recommendation, we're also recommending that you allow those funds to be spent at the local level so that they will not need to be returned to the federal government.
Representative Shelton.
As we reduce them here, we have to appropriate them somewhere else.
In this particular budget, it involves a shift, and you would reduce the expenditures allowed for the department's personal services or services and supplies, and you would increase the amount of special payments that they make to the local service.
And then a quick follow-up. And then the reduction in PERS reflects the adjustment in the rate or legislative reforms or both?
This is, I think it, probably the best way to say it is the reduction, the difference between the rate as we now know it will be as a result of partially of legislative reforms, the ones that were sustained by the courts. It's the difference between the rate that we now know that there will be, it will be, and the rate that the governor budgeted for back in December, which was higher than what we now know the rate will be.
And you'll see this, these adjustments in each of the budgets that we do.
Thank you very much. If I may continue, Madam Chair, there are actually three components that are combined, or three recommendation modifications that we're recommending to Package 104. And if I may explain those, the first one is to reduce the other funds and federal funds to reflect the reduction in the PERS contribution rate from the level budgeted in the governor's recommended budget, and then to transfer the savings in the federal funds to the local workforce service providers. Most of the PERS adjustments will be elsewhere in the budget, but we're required to make any changes to a policy package within the package itself. So we're making this change within Package 104. And to give you some idea about what the amounts we're talking about here, it's not a lot of money, but this would be a reduction of other funds of $478 and a reduction of federal funds of $1,570, because we do know that we now know that PERS contributions are over budgeted in the governor's recommended budget, and we are making that correction. The $1,570, again, we would recommend that you allow to be transferred to local service providers. That's the first element. The second element is the most complex, and it involves the three positions that the package would add to the department. And I know that there's a lot of concern about increasing the number of positions in state government, and we are actually recommending approval of all three positions. So if you would please let me give a little explanation of why we feel that it is advisable in this case. We can give you that information, and you can decide whether you concur or not. The three positions, and the place that I'm looking at that has some written description of this, is back in the table on page 5 of 17. If you look at the lower left-hand corner there, you'll see Package 104, the operations staffing. This is a description of the package that it came recommended by the governor. And then if you flip the page over on page 6 of 17, those are the changes that LFO is recommending. But the governor is proposing that you add funding for three new positions. The first would be a procurement and contract specialist one position. The duties of this individual would be to assure that the federal contracting and procurement rules are being followed in the department. There has been an increase in the number of contracts that the department has been executing or being a part of recently as a result of changes in the way that Oregon's workforce programs are being administered. This position, we believe, is needed to help ensure that these contracts are executed correctly and that this Department of the State did not get into trouble for having violated procurement and contract rules. So we are recommending the establishment of that position, and we have no change in that recommendation from the governor's recommendation except for the PERS rate reductions. The second of the three positions is an Education Program Specialist 2 position. Education Program Specialists are individuals who work and provide support to community colleges relating to the administration and functioning of their actual education program. So this is where the department helps community colleges develop and operate their programs. What this particular individual would do, if you approve, is they would work in the area of the professional technical programs. These are the programs that lead to a certificate that allow people to be employed in particular professional and technical fields. And the funding for this position, the cost of this position would be entirely financed from monies that the state receives from the federal government under the Carl Perkins Act. Carl Perkins funds are used to support the development of professional and technical education curricula, and this would assist the department, allow the department to provide better assistance to the colleges in the development of this curricula. Although these are federally sourced funds, actually, in the department's budget, they're considered other funds because the funds come from the federal government to the Department of Education, which shares Carl Perkins' responsibilities with community colleges. And then Department of Education transfers the community college portion of the funding to the department here. And as you may know, whenever funds are transferred from one state agency to a second, the second state agency accounts for them as other funds, even though the money is really coming from the federal government. So essentially, even though this would be shown as an other funded position, the funds are really coming from the federal Carl Perkins funds. Finally, the third position that the Package 104 supports and which the governor proposes, this is the one where LFO is recommending a modification. The governor's recommended budget includes federal funds to support an executive support specialist 2 position. This would be an individual who would support the operations of the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. And the governor's recommendation was to include $86,692 to finance the salary and benefits for this individual for both years of the biennium. A little bit of information about this, though, is there is currently someone who is doing this. So although this would be a new position, it wouldn't be a new person who is working at this activity. You may wonder, well, how could someone be working there and there not being a position? That's an excellent question. But the person who is now working at this effort is on a rotation from the Department of Administrative Services. So that position is being counted in the DAS budget, although they're working with the Department of Community Colleges now. The funding for that person's salary, DAS is not paying for that person's salary. That person's salary is being split in the existing budgets. Half of it's being paid by community colleges, and half of it's being paid by the employment department. costs both the employment department and community colleges that are already funding this person now, we do not believe that you should add any additional funds to the budget to support the salary and benefits of this individual. We do believe you should establish the position because we think it's preferable that if someone is working for community colleges, you approve that and you see it, and it's not on some type of basis where another agency is lending someone and then other agencies are paying for them. But we therefore are recommending that you eliminate the additional federal funds that were provided for this individual. Instead, we recommend that you note that this individual will continue to be paid as they are currently being paid, which is through a combination of half their salary would be paid by federal funds that are already in the agency's budget, and the other half would be paid by funds received from the employment department. The effect of this, if you approve this change, would be to free up this $86,692 that was in package 104 for salary and benefits. Those monies would then become available to be distributed to local workforce service providers to provide services at the local level. There's one other change, which is really technical and doesn't even show up in the numbers, but the payment for the prison system was incorrectly identified in the budget. We would just recommend that you approve technical corrections to move the expenditures into the office operations program area and to show that that payment is to the employment department and not to the corrections department, which was erroneously listed in the budget. It may have been that prison sounded like prison to someone, so it was put to the corrections budget department incorrectly.
Questions or comments? Representative Marks.
Thank you. And just to clarify, the placement from the employment department is expected to continue on through the biennium?
They would be expected, if you approve this recommendation, to continue to fund half of this position's cost throughout through the 2005-07 biennium.
And then to follow up, the federal Title II funds, the adult basic education, it's assumed that those funds are tied to that, and that's why you're transferring that money to the employment department?
Yes, for the prison payment, yes. That's what's financing the payment for participation in the prison data system.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions or comments? I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on package 104.
So moved.
Have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Baker.
We are now up to the 800 packages. 800 packages are packages that were not in the governor's budget at all, but are new and are being added either at the recommendation of the LFO analyst or of the co-chairs or of the subcommittee. There are two, just to the structure of things, you will see in all of your state agency budgets, or all, most of them at least, two packages that will be common. One will be package 801, and another will be package 802. Package 801 will include adjustments that will be applied across the board to all state agency budgets, and package 802 will, in each state agency, be adjustments that are specific to that state agency and not applied across the board. So going to package 801, this is the one that is applied to all state agency budgets. There are two items here, and these reflect a reduction in the Attorney General charge and the general reduction in the PERS contribution rate. So this is the big PERS adjustment because it covers everything that wasn't in the policy package as well, the whole base employment of the department. What has happened is, since this is your first work session, I will explain this in a little more detail this time than we probably will in the future, but the The governor's recommended budget assumed that the attorney general would be charging $119 per hour for attorney charges. But the committees have been looking at the Department of Justice budget, and the budget that they are passing forward reduces the charge to $111 per hour, which is about, about a 9% reduction. Therefore, we are reducing attorney general charges in the budgets of all state agencies. For this budget, general fund is reduced by 794 and federal funds by 621. Again, the federal funds are transferred to the local providers. Also, as we mentioned earlier, the PERS contribution is budgeted at 15.52% of salary in the governor's recommended budget, although the rate will actually be 14.63%. Taking that overfunding out of the budget will reduce general fund by an additional $61.25, other funds by $66.35, and federal funds by $27,497. Again, we recommend that you transfer the federal fund savings to local workforce providers.
Is there any questions or discussions on Package 801? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendations for Package 801.
So moved.
I have a motion. Is there a discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Package 802 contains adjustments to the base budget and essential packages that are specific to community colleges. And there are three of them which are combined. If I may briefly describe all three of them. The first is to increase the federal funds expenditure limitation to the agency by a total of, I'm sorry, I didn't put this in the verbal part of the memo, but the total increase in federal funds expenditure limitation would be, and this is on the last page of the table, on the very back, of Package 102. Okay, it says Package 802 WIA revenue adjustment is an increase of $2,554,899 in federal funds. Again, this reflects the fact that we want to allow the agency to spend all of the federal funds that are anticipated, and we now expect there to be $2.5 million more in federal funds than was anticipated or projected when the governor resubmitted his budget. This is both good news and bad news. The good news is there will be more funds available to provide these programs at the local level. The bad news is the reason why we're getting more money is because Oregon's unemployment rate turned out to be worse compared to the rest of the nation than had been anticipated. But we're getting more money, and we recommend allowing that money to be spent. The second of the three items in Package 802 is to correct the budget to show the department's payments of its contribution of state's general fund match for Carl Perkins federal funds. The department is required through interagency agreement to provide $530,000 of the general fund that you give it to the Department of Education as its portion of the required state match to receive the Perkins monies. There's another component in the Department of Education budget, which we will look at sometime in the future. The budget did not correctly show this particular cost as being needed to be paid, so we're recommending that you show that by shifting funds to that item out of IT professional services. And finally, the third item, which is described in this table that you see on page 3, shows we recommend that you adjust funding for 8 of the department's positions to reflect current work activities. So there's split of activities between the federally, some of the employees work on both the federally funded programs and on the general fund programs. We talked to the department to get the latest or the most current update, and you can see there we have 8 positions that we are recommending fund shifts for. If you approve this, this will save the state $51,918 in general fund. Those costs would be covered by the federal funds instead. This has the benefit of both helping the state budget and also more accurately reflecting what these people are doing. That is our recommendation for Package 802.
Questions or comments on Package 802? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation for package 802.
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Recommendation 6 is to make note of the fact that a new forecast for property tax collections of community colleges was released on Friday along with the state economic and revenue forecast. This forecast shows that community colleges are projected to collect a total of $991,775 more in property taxes than were projected at the time the governor submitted his budget. Because the budget is built on the assumption that costs will be shared by both the state general fund and community college property taxes, we note that if these funds had been available at the time the governor had made his recommendations, there would have been a dollar-for-dollar offset in the general fund appropriation amount. We support that. We believe that these are additional funds that are now available to community colleges that were not anticipated, and that therefore general fund support of $991,775 can be removed without lowering the amount of total funding to community colleges prior to any adjustments you make in number 7. So I do want to note that the House budget, though, does not require you to make this reduction. If you choose not to, you would not be violating the funding restrictions in the House budget.
Committee members, just to comment, in the discussion with the co-chair, the co-chair and the vice chair are both very interested in allowing not taking this reduction, not approving the LFO recommendation, and allowing the increase in property taxes to stay where it is and not offset the general fund appropriation. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess I would speak in favor of the vice chair and co-chairs position on this. In part, I think I understand the rationalization for dollar-for-dollar reduction, but in part, some of the increase in the property tax may have been a consequence of new perhaps industry coming in or new activity coming in, which may have increased the load for community colleges in those districts. So it may be a difficult item to get an actually a good one-for-one sort of formula. The other reason, Madam Chair, and I'll speak to that a little bit later, that I'd have to support your position on this, is I still think we're underfunding community colleges, and any dollar we can get in there is certainly going to be well-used in the educational system in the state. So I would support your position on that.
Representative Shelford.
Just briefly, they're building houses like crazy in my neighborhood, and those houses have kids in them, and the property taxes have went up accordingly, and I'd imagine that some of them kids will go to Clackamas Community College or Mount Hood Community College, so I think it does reflect that.
Heaven forbid, Blue Mountain.
With that, then, I would accept a motion not to approve the LFO recommendation and to not reduce the general fund appropriation by the increase in the amount of property taxes.
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope that you would not object to noting in your budget reports that this was a decision that you made in order to maximize the amount of funding that you could provide to community colleges this biennium, and that it does not represent a change in the fundamental budgeting for the system.
I would be very happy to have that language included in the budget report and to make that clear on the record that this is not a change in the big picture.
Recommendation 7 is the major recommendation relating to the support that actually is distributed to colleges under the Community College Support Fund. Consistent with the House budget, the House budget accommodates an increase of $45.9 million in general fund support for the Community College Support Fund above the level in the governor's recommended budget. This level would have provided a total of $440 million in general fund to the department budget, absent the, you know, some of the general fund reductions we've been talking about here. The increase, which were all actually in the operations and not to the Community College Support Fund. This increase will allow colleges to maintain and restore course offerings and to contain tuition rate increases. LFO recommends that the subcommittee increase the general fund appropriation to the Community College Support Fund by $45,900,000 and also recommends that you approve a budget note relating to expectations on tuition rate increases, which is shown on page 4 of the memo. And the budget note, which I know that the subcommittee chair has looked at, states that the subcommittee expects that community colleges will contain tuition rate increases as much as practicable in the 2005-07 biennium, and that the approved community college support fund appropriation will minimize the need for colleges to increase tuition rates to maintain program offerings.
Madam Chair.
Representative Krieger.
I think this has been the key for us in rural Oregon to have community colleges, which I think we have them all over, but as that tuition has gone up, enrollment has gone down, and that opportunity that's being taken away, and we want to, I'm in favor of restoring it as much as we possibly can.
Further comments, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, I will support the LFO recommendation unless the co-chair and vice chair have other recommendations that I'm unaware of. But I would also support, if it were possible to do it, an increase of this $45,900,000 to about $76 million to bring that up to a 471 for the community college, and for the record on this, I mean that's not just kind of a figure I picked out of the air. I'm looking at trying to go back and put community colleges at what I think has been something of a historical level. In the last two or three biennium, they have suffered in their amount that we've been able to appropriate for them. And as a consequence, as Representative Krieger had mentioned earlier, we've seen something of a decline in enrollment. We've seen a significant decline in the offerings that community colleges have been able to provide. And we've seen, unfortunately, I think the community colleges, which generally provide education, post-secondary educational services, be it vocational, technical, or be it liberal arts transfer programs too. Generally, people who fall into the category of having less ability to pay than perhaps the normal college group. Additionally, of course, they provide services, much needed services, to the people who have for no reason other than change of conditions and times put them in the unemployment category, and they've had to be retrained. So they're providing a very valuable service, but the cost of for students keeps going up and up, more so than in some other categories, I think. And additionally, I think if we look at community colleges and we do an analysis of, you know, what they are charging us, the state, to do a job, be that job, providing lower division transfer courses, or be that providing vocational technical programs, they're providing that service for less dollars than their counterparts at the university or their counterparts at K-12. In other words, we're getting the best bang for the buck in terms of education, in my opinion, And it would be my goal to try to move over time, because I know we probably can't do it all at once, but to move over time these funding levels back to a point that community colleges can get back to fulfilling the mission that I think they were fulfilling a decade ago, and realizing the change of times results in change of mission, but... So, having said that, Madam Chair, I will support the LFO recommendations, but I do so with some reservation because I would like to have seen that figure been much higher than it is.
Thank you. Committee members, please also be mindful that we have another section of this budget that we haven't gotten into yet. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. I'll be brief, too, but I've told this story countless times in my office to the advocates, but I want to get it on record. 49 of my 51 hours at Community College in Winthrop City, Iowa, Iowa Central, transferred to the University of Iowa, where I graduated from. Some would argue that we're getting our investment back. Some would argue that we're not. A better story would be my wife, who went to Mount Hood Community College, got her certificate in dental hygiene, practiced that in Zurich, Switzerland for 2 years, came back, graduated from OSU with honors, and went to OHSU and became a dentist. And now I can show our tax returns that we are definitely getting our return back in that investment. So I just wanted to get that on the record today. Thank you very much.
That I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendations for package 811.
So moved.
Have a motion. Is there a discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried.
Madam Chair, noting having been duly chastised for talking too long, I'll try to be briefer.
Mr. Bender.
Madam Chair, members, this completes all LFO recommendations relating to the actual funding levels. If you do want to note on the front page of the memo, the LFO recommend the number under general fund, because you did not approve recommendation 6, your recommendations increase that to $439,274,427 general fund, and there's of course a similar increase in the total of all funds in the box.
Could you repeat that figure?
Certainly. $439,274,427 in general fund.
No sense.
No sense. They have to keep it down.
Okay, thank you.
The final action that we have recommendations on relate to the approval of performance measures for the department. As you know, this is part of the process that was developed for Ways and Means, in which the House Budget Committee is continuing. What we have here is you will see a three-page table which lists performance measures. And if you look closely, it's not that easy to see, I apologize, but some of these are shaded lightly, and some of them are not shaded. The ones that are shaded, the performance measure number in column 4 typically will have a letter with it, such as 3A, 3B, or 2A, 2B, etc. The items that are not shaded are the performance measures proposed by the department. The shaded items are additional performance measures or changes that LFO is recommending based on comments of the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means or recommendations of the Ways and Means co-chairs or vice co-chairs. So we actually have a significant number of ones we are recommending that be added or that be developed. The process that we would ask you to take at this point is, we don't know how much time you have to allocate to this. Typically, we would expect to submit targets for 2006 and 07 for all of these, and as you can see, for the new ones, there aren't any developed, and even for some that the agency proposed, there aren't always targets. One option is that you may recommend that the agency report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee on its targets and on the performance measures that are identified as developed, such as in 2C and 2D on the first page. They would be required to report and get these approved by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. I set this aside somewhere and I can't find it. I think it's prior to August 1st of 2006.
I would so move, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I think that that is a good way to deal with this. These things need to be considered in a very deliberative kind of a way, and the department needs some time and able to pull the data together. So I have a motion to move the unfinished performance measures into the JLAC arena. And, Mr. Bender, I will trust that you'll make that sound way better than that. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, that motion is carried.
That completes the LFO recommendation on the community colleges portion of this budget. I don't know if you want to take a vote on this portion or wait until you're done with
state
school fund and then have a vote. I don't
think we'll do one motion at the end of this.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would be more than happy to keep with tradition and move that we approve the community college and workforce development budget forward as amended and with LFO's recommendation. But it doesn't appear that you are looking for a motion at this time. So
it does not appear that I'm looking for a motion at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So that's it.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. I believe Steve told you earlier that in House Bill 5092, you're also going to have the 2507 budget for the state school fund. And what I've distributed to you is a very brief memo and a spreadsheet that provides some numbers for you. Just briefly, I'll describe the memo. The House budget plan for the 0507 budget is for the state school fund. Is $5.2 billion. The sources of funding are general fund, $4.9 billion, lottery funds at $295.7 million, and a small amount of state timber taxes, $950,000. If you look at the spreadsheet that I've also provided for you, you'll see that there are some comparisons to both the 2003-05 estimated funding level as well as the 0507 governor's recommended budget, and you'll see the percentage differences over on the right-hand side of that spreadsheet. Therefore, to implement the plan, the House budget plan for the state school fund, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that the subcommittee approve a motion to amend House Bill 5092, which is a blank appropriations bill, by adding language to the bill to appropriate $4,903,317,141 general fund, establish $295,732,859 in lottery funds expenditure limitation, and also establish $950,000 other funds expenditure limitation.
Questions or comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And while the first half of our day today was very productive, and we moved through with a quite adequate budget for community colleges and workforce development, I feel this one falls a little short. I would recommend that these numbers be higher so that they'd come out to $5.4 billion for state funding. However, given that we hopefully will have the opportunity to discuss that on the floor tomorrow in House Bill 2727, I would not move that at this time, but I just wanted to put it on record.
Okay, Representative March, where would you... Oh. Could you stand, please?
I didn't hear what
Representative Schaffler
said, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, Schaffler. I was just recapping that I had made a recommendation to approve a motion, which I read. And then I believe where we stopped was Representative March was making some comments.
You.
Okay, I would accept a motion to amend this motion, and what I would like to do is in the third line up from the bottom, the number that currently reads 4903-317-141, amend that number to 4848-717-141. And with that amendment, approve the LFO recommendation.
4871714. What was that again?
Madam Chair and Representative Schaffler, 4 billion. Okay. 848 million.
All right.
$717,141.
All right. Thank you very much.
The question, Madam Chair?
Well, let's get this motion on the table.
Thank you.
Would you make the motion?
Yeah. I move to accept the number.
Okay. Now we can discuss.
Thank you. On a quick math look, that appears to put us at approximately 5175. Is that or 515?
Madam Chair and Representative March, it's a difference of 54.6 million, and I believe it will put you at 5145.4 billion total.
And that issue here is the disbursement from the Common School Trust Fund, that we are including that as part of the number to bring it up to 5.2 as part of the local revenue piece. Any further discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Representative March objects. Representative Schaffler objects. With those two objections noted in the record, the motion carries.
And then, Madam Chair, I believe the final motion you need to make is to move the move House Bill 5092 as amended with community colleges as well as the state school fund to the House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass as amended recommendation.
I would accept a motion to move House Bill 5092 as amended and conceptually amended to the House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass as amended and conceptually amended recommendation.
So move.
I have the motion. Do I have discussion on the motion? I have objection to the motion. Representative March objects. Representative Schaffler objects. Please let the record reflect that. With those two objections noted, the motion passes. I will be glad to carry this bill in the full committee. Committee members, that concludes the order of business here. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 5092 and resume the committee.